How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost them, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 59 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to
be
back.
It was nice talking to Zach, but I hope you listened the amount of time we've talked about you and wished you were there. So
I did. The compliments there at the beginning from both of you, actually, that was very
well, he was doing it, and I didn't want to feel like a jerk at that point, so I kind of had to like make it seem like I like you a lot.
No, I appreciate it. I that was a great show. I mean, that was a very entertaining show, lots of good information. I'm sorry I missed Zach. That was definitely a disappointment, but we'll have to do it again sometime when he and Kyle can both do it. So
I've totally roped Zach into being my friend now, so he doesn't have a choice.
Nice.
So there was something I planned on talking about before we started actually talking football, and I don't remember what it is. So let's just, you know what? I need to get this out of the way. Just give me a sad news.
The news,
man, Doug Baldwin. And like, there had to be something that why they had the Seahawks had to cut Baldwin instead of just letting him retire on the spot. Like, I really hope it was like a massive money thing where Baldwin still gets his money but the team saves money, because if not, like, what the hell, man? Like, I know things between teams and players, we want it to be like a real relationship, but in the real world we know they don't give a crap about each other. But Baldwin's been there his entire career. You know, he was undrafted, worked his way up to being such a relevant wide receiver, won a Super Bowl with them. One day comes out that he is probably going to have to retire with the amount of surgeries he's had. 3 days later, he's been cut. Like, that sucks, man. Like, Cam Chancellor, I get. He wasn't going to be on the team this year anyway. Like, before the injury, with all of that, like, he was owed just a ton of money, and they were clearly slashing and burning that defense. But the Baldwin thing, just I don't know. I am sad that A, Baldwin's probably retiring, and B, that the Seahawks hopefully again didn't handle it as crappy as it seems.
Well, I don't think they did. I mean, if I heard correctly, he failed a physical, so that he's ineligible.
He had two surgeries and needs 16 more. Of course he's failing a physical.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I think that's why both he and Chancellor were both released was because of the failed physicals. I mean, in addition to other things, of course, but yeah, I think that was definitely a part of it too. Yeah, it's definitely a sad thing for, you know, Baldwin. He's a staple in a Seahawks uniform, you know. I mean, he's been one of their best offensive weapons up there in the Pacific Northwest for the last, I don't know, however long it's been, 7 years, 8 years, whatever. I mean, he's had a good career up there. I mean, he's been a very solid contributor. He's one of the vocal guys on that team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, his voice was present even though the Legion of Boom was what everybody talked about. And, you know, those guys are always getting interviewed, but so was Dougie B. I mean, he was a leader on that team and fun to watch play, you know. I mean, not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, but just a really good player overall, very smart. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not a Seahawks fan, but I can understand your pain on this. You know, great career. I mean, you can't say anything other than that, I don't think, for Baldwin here. So it does look like he's done, though. I don't think he's probably going to. I don't think he would have come out mentioning the retirement word if he wasn't going to go ahead and hang him up. So,
all right. Well, RIP Dougie B. DK, you better come to play, man. That's like, really wish they took AJ Brown. I think it was two drinks who said he still laughs every time I talk about the wrong Ole Miss wide receiver, even though I'm trying to convince myself it's the right one more than ever right now. Just yeah, trying so hard to convince myself that it's the right one.
No, the opportunity's there for sure. So we'll see what happens.
Right. But hey, the goat Will Disley's coming back. So I don't know.
Will Disley.
All right. That's enough. Just straight Seahawks talk. What do you want to talk about first? You pick something to talk about. I don't want to pick anything.
Well, let's go into let's go into a non-football thing first. So a community thing. We're getting down and dirty here early on, so this is good stuff. So on Twitter, our listeners are out there. That's how we interact with them mostly. Also in the cool kids chat, patreon.com. There's a level where I'm not sure which level it is. Is it the five?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the $5 level gets you in there. So we do interact in there quite a bit as well. Shout out to those guys. But yeah, no, there's been a lot on Twitter lately about Dynasty podcasts and how many there are and how, you know, different podcasts are, you know, doing different alliances or not alliances, but just they're grouping up. You know, we're a part of the DLF family podcast. Very proud to be part of that. You know, and in turn, we, you know, at the beginning of our show and I know at the beginning of the other shows in the DLF family here, we try to promote each other. We try to help each other out and, you know, just very quick and easy, painless. Just, hey, you know, take a look and check us out or check these guys out so that people, you know, they might not be aware of the other podcasts in the family. So, you know, we try to help each other out in that way. And, you know, that's by some people that's not received well. It's, you know, corporate or ads or whatever. I don't know. And then it leads to more discussions. And the deeper into the discussion you get, people really complain about Dynasty podcasts. And it's interesting reading some of the comments in there. You know, the one thing that I'd say, I mean, first and foremost, there are a lot of Dynasty podcasts out there, Dynasty football, fantasy football in general podcasts, the industry, the community, whatever has grown significantly in the last year to whatever. look, if you don't like one, don't listen to it. Like, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, we, you know, everybody has a certain amount of time within their day or their life to listen or do this hobby. Some do it more than others. You don't have to bitch about it on Twitter. Like, I think, you know, we're going to do our thing. If you don't, we're authentic. Russ and I are ourselves. And I think most shows are like that. You know, the guys that are behind the mic are doing what they believe to be the best thing for their show. Whether that's, you know, we talk a lot of football here, a lot of football. And hopefully that's valuable to our listeners. You know, hopefully the guys think that we, you know, try to be knowledgeable about the topics, give our opinions, even if they're not always correct. You know, and then we try to be entertaining. Look, I know for me, if I turn on a Dynasty podcast, right? And again, this is to each their own. Like, some people like Dynasty podcasts that are straight to the point, football, the whole hour or whole 45 minutes or whatever it is, 2 hours if you listen to us. And great, that's good. I mean, if you like that, good for you. That's, listen to that because you like that. And you know, we only have so much time. So listen to what you like. We're going to try to be entertaining because we like to have a lot of fun. Sometimes we're going to talk about, you know, subjects and topics that aren't Dynasty football. We're talking about one right now, kind of. I mean, it's related, but it's not, you know, we like to have a good time. And in doing so, sometimes we're not going to talk about football all the time. So if you don't like that, you don't have to listen.
But please listen.
Yeah, please listen. I mean, please, please, we beg you. But yeah, so that's just been something that's kind of irked me the last couple of days. Not irked, that's not the right word. Just, it's been interesting to read through some of the comments. God, and the different.
Be upset about it.
I don't get
a very strong word. Just roll with it.
It irks me occasionally.
There you go.
You know, people, it's okay. It's absolutely okay for people to feel like the Dynasty podcast that they listen to should be all football all the time. I don't have a problem with that. It's fine. But you don't have to like put that on everybody else. Some people like to listen for entertainment value. You know, I like to listen to shows personally where I feel like I can connect with the show host. That's, you know, I mean, my favorite shows are the ones where I feel like I'm sitting in the room with these guys bullshitting about football or listening to them bullshit about football. Pardon me. That's twice, like back to back there. So yeah, I mean, you know, so that's just me personally. I mean, but again, to each their own. But you don't have to complain about it on Twitter is the big thing. You know, listen to the shows you like, turn off the ones you don't. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's funny when you started out by saying that there's just so much out there in our community. The two things that came to mind are, I legitimately, honestly, literally, and any other word that I can use to emphasize this, I feel bad that I don't listen to every podcast that someone's been like, hey, check me out, or a podcast of the people I talk to on Twitter all the time. I don't have time to listen to the stuff I listen to already. I already end up skipping stuff, and I already listen at 1.5, and I can't get any faster. Otherwise, I completely don't listen to anything. So I try, and there's so much more out there I would want to listen to. And it also reminds me of back when Ryan McDowell was doing his FF Follows, and someone's like, there's just so much out there. We're supposed to, you know, and we're supposed to be like, would it be better if there was two people out there? I mean, because then if you don't like one of those two, you're getting one and you're getting half of the content that's out there. You might as well have 10,000 shows and be able to, you know, pick 5,000 and be okay with it. Man, 5,000 shows. I picked way too high in numbers for that. My bad. yeah, but, and also, let's just all tie it back to Trade Addict's motto, don't be a dick. Man, there's no reason for it. This community is better when we're all trying to help each other out. And if you don't want to help someone out, just don't talk about them at all. There's no reason to, you know, say anything negative about anybody.
Yeah, here's one thing. So, and I know, you know, this is something that I've had so many conversations about this with people in the community over the course of the time where I've been involved in the community, both as a just as a fan and then getting started doing this and writing and different things. You know, when it comes to being right, okay, you know, there's a lot of people, and you don't have to name names. I mean, we all know who they are, right? There's people out there that just bang their chest constantly. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. Okay. You don't have to do like it. I don't care. I don't care if you're right. If you're a dick and you're right, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to engage with you. I'm not going to follow you. You can be right all you want. And there are other people that will be, because to some people, this is more than about having fun. You know, they're playing high stakes leagues and they're doing this and that, and they want to be the best they can be. And look, I want to win too. I mean, we play to win the game, kind of, but at the same time, we play to have a good time doing this. This is a hobby. Most of us aren't professionals per se that do this, that play dynasty football or fantasy football for our living. Okay. So, you know, good for you. If you're right more than most, if you're the most accurate ranker, if you're the most, you know, you hit on more of your hot takes than the next person, you know, whatever. I mean, that's fine. Good for you. That's awesome. But like, let your work and your rankings and your all of that, let all that do its talking, because it will. It'll talk for you. People will recognize. People recognize good content and good people. You know, you don't have to be a jerk and sit there and just beat your chest and whatever. It is what it is. I mean, there's so many more good people in this community than there are bad. And even some of the, you know, even some of the people that do some of this stuff are great people that we've interacted with or that I've interacted with. They're good people too. Great people and great minds and very helpful when you're trying to learn how to do this the best you can do it. But just, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we say it all the time. It just comes back to don't be a dick. Just be a good person. Be a nice person. You can have opinions. That's fine. But you don't have to belittle someone or make someone feel crappy because they have an opinion that's different than yours.
All right. That's enough about this. But we're going to use this to transition to something that also irks people but is very fantasy football related. Hashtag brand.
And this, if you, just for the record, if you have, I just want to interrupt for 1 second. If you do have a different opinion on this one, you're wrong. So that's just...
Ooh, I love decisive Brian.
I'm totally teasing, guys.
No, he's not.
I love you all.
That's true, but that doesn't mean you can't be wrong. All right. So, like I said before, my nice, Mr. Nice Guy co-host rudely interrupted me. We're going to turn this into something that irks a lot of people as well, but is very fantasy football related. We are going to talk about the hashtag brand of hashtag Team Slow Draft. A, tradeaddictspod.storenv.com. Go hit up that store. Get your hashtag Team Slow Draft shirt.
It's only February.
That's right. If you need me to change it to it's only May, I'll do it. That's fine. Just because now it's not ridiculously early startup season. It's ridiculously early rookie draft season. But this was brought up by Larry Monkey at Dino Monkey and on Twitter with the questions. But it's something I meant to talk about for like the past 2 weeks that I just never really was able to work into talking about. I have changed so much.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud.
I don't understand it. I can't give like a real reason as to why I think it happened. I absolutely, even as early as last year, was anti team slow draft or team fast draft, quick draft. I don't know. We're not going to come up with something because I don't want it to be a thing.
I think I know what happened.
No, hold on. Because
maybe, and I'll tell you what I think what happened.
Like, maybe I'm a year older, a year wiser. Maybe I hit that level of too many. So I'm not in a rush anymore. Maybe I'm just so old, I'm not in a rush for anything anymore. I don't know. I don't have a real reason what it is. But last year, even I was absolutely, what the hell do we need 8-hour limits for? I get that people have a life. The only reason we have an 8-hour limit is because some people have jobs and can't get to your phone or computer. But the second you do, you should know who you're drafting. It takes about 30 seconds to look at the list of players who are available. You click a button, you're done. Oh, you have a trade offer? That's great. Send an offer, accept, reject, move on. Shouldn't take more than 20 minutes. Why? Because that other person also shouldn't take 3 hours to pick whether they want to accept or decline the trade. And then once they accept the trade, they should know who they're taking because they just traded for this pick. It shouldn't take forever after that. And now it's just like, yeah, man, that's fine. Just go ahead. What's the rush? The only time I ever really, really actually felt a rush was last year for the Dynasty Trades HQ startup draft. We started that maybe 3 weeks before the season started. And it's a 16-team Superflex league. That draft took forever. And we're like, dude, we need to finish this before the season starts. Like, no, really, we're not rushing to be a jerk, but we need to do this. But now it's just like, and I can't even explain what, like, yeah, I just, you know, jokingly ranted about why I felt that way, like my thinking besides team fast draft, but it doesn't even make sense to me anymore. It's just like, drafts are exciting. Wanting to draft, I get. Being excited to draft, I get. But just like, people legitimately get angry. And the only time you ever get angry is that we coined it aggro drafting, mm-hmm. where it's literally just Comfort. Taking your whole clock to piss everyone off.
Yeah.
So you get trade off.
Yeah. Well, you're right. That's being a dick.
Yes.
And we don't encourage that ever. Right. So, so here's my hypothesis on why you changed. J Mike.
Oh, I love that, man.
I know, me too. He's the greatest. J Mike is so awesome. And I think everybody, I mean, when we found out J Mike was team slow draft, it was like,
oh, I must be doing something wrong if he believes in slow draft.
J Mike is wise, you know, he's brilliant, he's wise, you know. I think there's something there that when John Michael does something or feels some way about something that it makes you really consider, you know. It really makes you consider it. So
there you go, anybody who still feels like their team fast draft. You're wrong because J Mike says so. How about that? And yes. Show mic drop. I mean, my mic's right. Attached to a stand, so I can't really drop it or anything.
Drop your J mic.
Bam! Oh, I love it. Okay, to actually really talk about it for a second. Yeah. I mean, I guess I really did talk about it already because I just didn't realize how much I talked for really quickly about all of that.
Yeah,
I get both sides of it. Just like the excitement of anything I get, but let it last. I especially like the Trade Addicts leagues. It's funny. We have like two tiers of leagues. We have everyone else and then we have Trade Addicts 3. And
you just Trade did Addicts it, dude. 3, holy crap, you just did it.
No, this is, let me, Trade Addicts 3, we finished the startup draft in like 4 days. The rookie draft was done in like a day and a half. And the weird thing is there was still the most trades out of any league. And then we have every other league, which just sort of either went at a normal pace or like TA6, we sort of forgot about it towards the end. Like that really was, if anyone in there is team fast draft, they must have wanted to jump off a roof.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you on this. I mean, I'm definitely team slow draft. I don't think there's any rush to get through drafts, especially with when they start. Like, you know, like for example, this past weekend's Mother's Day, right? And I had 2 drafts going. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had two rookie drafts going. Now, 2 rookie drafts isn't terrible, and I didn't hold them up per se, but like you have to understand that, right? Like if people are with their mothers or with their wives celebrating with their kids and different things, like you just can't like expect or get pissed. That is more it. You can't get pissed when people are doing life, They should be doing life before they're doing fantasy football. As much as we love this game and as much as we love playing dynasty football, they should be doing life before dynasty football. Okay. So, I mean, I that's where it gets me. Now, I 100% agree with you. The aggro drafting, is that what you called it?
Yep.
Yeah. That's just being a dick. Don't be a dick. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? But I mean, if you're
to put it out there, aggro drafting 100% works.
Oh, yeah.
It really absolutely does. It will piss everyone off and it will get you trade offers. It absolutely will. Absolutely. But just don't do it.
Yeah. 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 No. Don't. I mean, anytime you're doing something to intentionally upset one of your league mates, I mean, that doesn't make sense. Just what are you doing? You know, you're hurting the league long term. So, you know, but at the same time, a little understanding around someone who drafts at a little slower pace than you do, or much slower pace than you do, depending on how slow, you know, as long as they're not intentionally doing it, there's no need to rush through this stuff. I mean, we literally, you know, a bunch of rookie drafts started right after the NFL draft, right? They're all done, right? And even if they're all done, and even if they're not, we are literally 3.5 months from the season. Like, there's no need to rush. So that's, you know, this show is going to be fun to interact with our listeners on Twitter, because there are going to be a lot of them that, you know, trash take this.
Yeah, sure. I really wish there was more going on in the Cool Kids Club or in the YouTube chat right now, just so we can really get some stuff going on. Because, oh man, I tried to get this in on the past two shows where we had a guest, but I know I didn't want to do it without you here because I knew you were Team Slow Draft before me.
Yeah,
and I don't remember what happened the week before; it just never happened. But I feel like that's, I think we're sufficiently worked. Oh, nope. Fingers up.
Well, I do have one thing to say, and this, hang on, let me look, because I think this ties into a listener question. Ooh. I thought I saw something where somebody was talking about, and I can't find it now, and it's not on the sheet. So maybe I just saw it in on Twitter or something, but somebody said something about, like actively trying to trade when you're on the clock in rookie drafts.
Yes.
So I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly what the question was, but so one thing that I do,
I do. By the way, at some dino noob.
Is that who it was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So one thing that I do is if I'm on the clock, So I
sorry, one, I'm five. That's
one I do. Okay.
All right, go.
We're moving on. One thing I do is if I'm on the clock and like, if I'm on the clock and I'm sitting there actively, like, okay, I'm going to draft within the next 30 minutes to an hour, depending on, you know, I have the time now, I'm looking through all this, I'm considering trade offers. But if I know, for example, that I have, so I'm on the clock and I know that there are two players that I want, I will use the time on the clock to try to trade for the pick behind me so that I can do what I need to do. Like, I do use the time sometimes. That's the other thing. I think people sometimes get frustrated because they think, oh, well, this person checked in. And, you know, they can see the little timer at the bottom of MFL, right? This person checked in 1 minute ago, right? So they're on, you know, they posted something in the GroupMe chat. So they're paying attention. They know they're on the clock. What's going on? Well, sometimes I'm using that time to make other deals while I have control of the clock, because while you have control of the clock, nobody's coming off of the board, right? So you can control the players that are available and that you can pick in that moment. So I will use that time sometimes to try to make other deals to set myself up to get other players I want while I'm still on the clock. And then I'll select the guy that I want and then move on to the next pick, whichever, you know, whether that's the actual next pick or whether that's two picks from now. But you know, whatever it is, you can use that time to do other negotiations as well. So I do, I also do that. I was, occasionally. So
hey, another move that we've been seeing a lot lately is, sorry guys, out, was just in a meeting, about to go into another one, throw me some offers, you know, I'll, since I can't maybe not be able to look and draft, I might be able to accept an offer while I'm in my meeting, that kind of stuff, you know, just another way to not let things sit on the clock or anything like that. If you want to keep the draft moving, but never feel like you have to keep the draft moving anyway, it's just a way to keep stuff going. Yeah, you changed things and derailed me a bit. What was I going to do? Oh, here's what I'm going to do. We only have one real trade addicts trade for the week because a lot of them are just complete draft pick. Wow, draft pick was the words that did not come into my head right there. Draft pick trades, and it makes it a little tough to talk about, even though maybe we will, like, more in context a little later. So hit us with the trade addicts trade.
Trade addicts trades.
This one is the Trade Addicts 3 trade. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 0.05 for tight... Nope, 0.05 for kick return points. My daughter was a brat. It was her birthday today, so she knew she can get away with whatever the hell she wants, so she fought every second of going to sleep. So we started like 45 minutes later than normal, so... words are going to start being lost much earlier than they usually are in the show. So just quick warning right there. So the Trade Addicts 3 trade was Derrick Henry for Mark Andrews, Kiki QT, and Darrell Henderson. I'm going to stick with Darrell because I don't know the real answer and I like that better. Since this was a me trade, why don't you let me know how you feel about it?
So I definitely think that the value is on the three-player side. However, me personally, I don't know, man. I just can't get off the Derrick Henry hype train this year. I was not on heading into last season, but this season, I just feel like they are building that offense around Derrick Henry. They're going to pound the rock, and then they're going to throw it to Corey Davis occasionally on deep passes and A.J. Brown out of the slot to convert third downs. And that's what that offense is going to be. So I think it's probably a pretty fair trade. The value might be because of the tight end premium. I like Mark Andrews a lot, especially with Lamar Jackson. You know, and they seem to have kind of a rapport towards the end of the year last year. Henderson is a guy that I know holds a lot of value right now. I've seen him go in the late first of rookie drafts. I personally think that is insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're essentially getting a running back who's the backup to Todd Gurley. It'd be like drafting Paul Perkins with the, not Paul Perkins, but you get the point. Like you just, I mean, Tony Pollard, Mike Weber in the first round behind Zeke, like, no, Todd Gurley is the running back in LA. So, you know, I mean, I guess if you're petrified of the knee, then yeah, you know, you, I don't understand the first round on Henderson. I just don't get it. If he'd have landed somewhere else where he had a clearer shot, maybe, but it's Todd Gurley. We're talking about Todd Gurley here. I just don't see it. But maybe that's, you know, that might just be me, you know, and then Kuti is a guy that is going to get some work. I mean, he showed what he could do while he was healthy last year in the absence of Will Fuller too, but you know, he's going to work the slot there. I think, you know, in Houston. So, I don't know. I just think Derrick Henry, I know he's not like a big PPR guy either, but that dude, he talked to Eddie George, and from the week he talked to Eddie George on, he was a different player. He was throwback to Eddie George. Like, I'm just running over people. You know, and people point to the game against Jacksonville where he ran for 270 yards and four touchdowns or whatever it was. And yeah, I mean, that was obviously a big stat patter, but I look at the way he finished the season. I look even before that, you know, he was putting up 60, 70, 80 yards a game and scoring a touchdown here and there. So I don't know. I just have a feeling that they're building this offense around Derrick Henry in the running game. And that's a guy that, you know, I don't know. He looked like a different player the second half of the year. So we'll see what happens. I could be completely wrong, and it could turn out to be another year like this past year was, where beginning of the year he sucks, and then second half he comes on. But I think I personally would rather have the Henry side here. But I am ultra interested. Yeah, I'm ultra. Okay, so you got Henry. So that's the I was going to say. I'm ultra interested in finding out which side you got here.
All right, so I got the Henry side. The reason I was willing to give up these three guys is they are three guys. I like Mark Andrews. I like the player. I even kind of like him with Lamar Jackson. Like you said, the two of them were sort of getting a bit of a connection towards the end of the season. But they also just added so many players. Justice Hill, I think, is going to be a big part in that receiving game. Kiki Kuti is great when he is healthy, but the dude's had hamstring problems going back to elementary school. We've seen the reports.
Well, he's at best the wide receiver three.
But yeah, he's still got a ton of targets. And again, you can't count on Will Fuller to be healthy either. That's just true. There's so many ifs with that guy. Mm-hmm. And then Darrell Henderson, again, like you said, it's Todd freaking Gurley. Here's how every time anyone's been asking me about Todd Gurley, it's Todd Gurley on, what was it, like maybe 28 to 35 touches a game is a top two running back. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley on 18 to 23 touches is still a top 10 running back. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to take him off the field still. And I think especially maybe the beginning of the season, they probably will, but then they'll see they don't have to. And then towards the end, they probably will have to because they forgot that they brought Henderson on to actually give Gurley some rest. To me, I don't understand why he's drafted any higher than, say, James Conner was 2 years ago.
Right.
This guy is going, okay, maybe a little higher just because, Lev Bell never left the field. But, I mean, this is a guy that's going to come in. He's going to spell Gurley whenever Gurley's tired. And, yeah, he'll take maybe 5 to 10 of his own touches a game. And then, otherwise, you're hoping Gurley goes down. That's the only reason you draft him that high.
Exactly.
Actually, that's a lie. That's the only reason you draft him. But to draft him that high is you think Gurley is done.
I mean, they just paid him a crap ton of money, too. It's not like... You know, it's not like he's Melvin Gordon where he's coming into the last year of his deal and they are going to have to pay him a ton of money. They already paid him a ton of money. So, you know, that situation just, I don't get it. I don't get it with Henderson there. Again, I don't mind the talent. I understand the offense, but they're not taking Todd Gurley out of the game if he's healthy. So, I don't know.
See, I mean, I do get it. They're worried about Gurley. They got someone who is good to put behind him because we saw what the best fullback in the league, CJ Anderson, could do. It makes perfect sense. But the thing is, just remember that is what it is. He's a capable backup, which is very smart to have. Don't get me wrong. Not at the 109. That's nuts. Exactly. But getting back, and now to Derrick Henry. Just when I think I got out, they pull me back in. Like, it's ridiculous. Every year I say that's it on Derrick Henry, and every year I am pulled back in for some reason or another. Good for you. Blanked out. Man, that works.
Derrick Henry pulled you back in.
Pulled me back in. Yeah, like you said, this offense is going to get simplified. I think that's exactly what it is. They are dumbing down this offense because, I mean, they have to realize now that Mariota, this offense, we're not going to get into the Mariota stuff because we know I like him more than not everyone, but most people do. And the dude couldn't feel his fingers. But again, we're not getting into it. He was hurt too much. He never really had a chance. 5 OCs in 5 years, but we're not going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
This is his 5th offensive coordinator in 5 years. He's a little bit of the same system, but still, they need, I think, and now they realize that they need everything around him. They realize they need to win football games. And the best way to do that, surround your hopefully good quarterback with enough talent as humanly possible, and hopefully he shows you he's good.
Yeah.
And the best way, let's pretend that we're football guys because that's what the NFL is filled with. How do you help your quarterback?
You run the football.
In the passing game, you establish the run.
Yeah.
And I mean, they did that at the end of the year, and Derrick Henry came with the second best stiff arm of the season.
I was going to say that too. Like, I mean, that sticks in your mind. It sticks in my mind. Absolutely. I mean, when you see a player that physically dominates another physical human being the way that Derrick Henry did on that run, the way that Vance McDonald did when he ended the dude's season on that run, you know, it sticks with you. I mean, I want players on my fantasy team that do that shit because that's fun. It's fun to watch your guy run over 6 people on the way to the end zone or one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, that's awesome. And hell, if you had him playing that week, you won that week. It didn't matter who else was on your team. So
that got me into like the loser championship bracket of the Scott Fishbowl, which I of course lost the next week because Derrick Henry didn't put up 65 points. So yeah, that is my thinking behind that entire trade. I don't remember really what brought it on. I think it's with Savi, and I think he was just blowing up his team, and I just wanted to do a trade. I needed to fortify my running back position because actually I don't know why I did it. I'm just trying to make excuses for getting back on the Derrick Henry train, and it just happened. I can't make excuses. You did it to me again, Derek. You did it to me again. So that's our Trade Addicts trade for the week, because again, everything else is just draft stuff. And it's funny, like I listen to so many podcasts, and I feel like everybody's talking about rookies. So I'm like, maybe we'll talk about something else. But then I throw out to Twitter, like, hey, what should we talk about? And everyone talks about rookies.
Rookie. Yeah.
So I guess that's what everyone still kind of wants to talk about. So we're going to talk about some rookie stuff. First, we are going to talk about a little bit, we'll call it a fight that Brian and I had, which was literally 3 words, and we moved on very quickly. We're going to talk about Paris Campbell. Brian and I share a team in Trade Addict 7, and we had the 110? 107?
I think it was 107, yeah.
107. And we were trying to figure out who to pick. And, you know, usually the way we have handled the drafting so far has been like, I like these 3 guys, this is my order. He'll say, I like these 3 guys, this is my order. And then we just sort of, okay, whichever, that guy sounds good. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, we're 2 ridiculously way too easygoing dudes. So, you know, there really is no infighting, which was why I was joking with you can't see the air quotes when I said fighting. We ended up taking Dwayne Haskins, by the way, because he was at 7. He should be off the board by 107. And we only had 2 starting quarterbacks, so it fit our need as the tiebreaker anyway.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell ended up going at 111 right before our next pick. But it doesn't matter because Brian said he's not a Paris Campbell guy, which now I wish you were on the show last week with Zach.
I heard Zach talking about him. Yeah. With the bubble screens and all that. Yep.
Yeah. So Troy Van Riper at PDX Troy Boy. Paris, he wants us to talk about Paris Campbell and his prospects for 2019. oh, here you go. I see him going 107 in some drafts, and as late as he said mower second, but I'm guessing that's lower second.
Lower, yeah.
Come on, man. You know, this is a quality show, and we shouldn't have to deal with your typos. Do better. Hey, the big variance?
Troy, just go full Yinzer on him, buddy. I think Troy's a Pittsburgh guy, so, or at least he's a Steelers fan, so there's some Yinzer in him, so.
Why the big variance? He has a low ADOT, but Twitter says he'll be a PPR darling. Really?
Yeah.
Question mark. That last part is exactly why there's the variance.
Right.
Before doing any research whatsoever, I was unhappy with the landing spot of the Colts for Campbell because he's a speed guy. So I thought instantly there's going to be some issue between him and T.Y. Hilton. And then the more you listen, the more I don't really read because I have absolutely no attention span. The more I talk to Zach Reed about it because the dummies are all in on Paris Campbell, you find out that's not at all the case. Yes, he is in fact fast, but plays a completely different part of the field. Like Troy pointed out, he is a very low average depth of target.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little too low, which is why a lot of, I think, people were worried about him. A lot of Dynasty people were not biggest fans of him coming into the process.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, I think this works perfectly. Both he and T.Y. can go in and out of the slot, so they don't really cannibalize each other in that sense. And I mean, I think the biggest trouble with this is how much Nyheim Hines was catching the ball with that low ADOT. But I mean, the more I've been researching, the more I've been liking Paris. I almost said Paris Hilton. That's really bad. Paris Campbell. The more I've been liking Paris Campbell in this, I think he plays perfectly into a team that throws the ball as much as Indianapolis does. I think it even opens up more of the deep stuff for T.Y. Hilton. And since I'm a huge T.Y. Hilton fan, that made me happy. Because, again, I was a little upset when I thought they overlapped. And, you know, the real hope is that Campbell can turn into Hilton. You know, I think it was he caught two deep balls his entire college career. But still, he now has time to sit and learn with T.Y., who is 29. So he's not exactly
29.
He's not exactly dead yet, but he's not necessarily the longest for this league. And usually once you get up there, your speed goes down a little bit. So maybe, you know, 2 years pass and Hilton becomes that low ADOT guy and Campbell goes over the top of everyone. So honestly, I love the landing spot. I am willing to take him around that 107. I wanted to take him at 107. And since Brian said he's not a Campbell guy, I traded up in Trade Addicts 5 to go get him. So I got my share. I know you were worried because that's the kind of guy you are. But that's my feelings on Paris Campbell. Can you give us a little bit of a reasoning as to why you're not a Paris Campbell guy?
So, yeah. So, I can. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought Paris Campbell was Percy Harvin. Okay. I'm not sure I was correct, to be honest. I mean, this is, you know, we do our make amends during the season. And this one, I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to see. Obviously, I mean, we haven't seen him play in the league yet. But Campbell isn't as small as I thought he was. He's 6'1", 208. I mean, that's not tiny for an NFL receiver. Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about Hilton, I mean, T.Y. is 183. 5'10", 183. 5'9", 183. So Hilton's the little guy, right? Campbell, the Paris Hilton thing got me there.
Yeah, you know, it's gone now. That's all you're going to think about.
for a second. So, but yeah, Paris Campbell, he's not as small as I thought he was. In the games that I remember him playing, the Ohio State games that I watched him play in, it was a lot of the bubble screens. It was the short crossing route. And he's explosive. So he's got the speed and the acceleration, the explosion, whatever, to take a pass, a short pass, and go the distance. I want to see what he does in his route running a little bit better, a little bit more. I want to see what he does against NFL cornerbacks that are a little bit more physical. but I don't know. This could be one where a couple weeks into the season or midway through the season, I may have to make some amends. I think for me, there were just guys at that spot specifically that were, you know, I just liked better. So the guy that and this will go into. So you want like a super smooth transition game?
Hit it.
Okay, so this will go into the Hakeem Butler stuff. So we had a couple comments on Butler. One was from Shane Luniac at Lunigator, LUNIGATOR, on Twitter. Now he asked specifically about Andy Isabella or Hakeem Butler, but I'm going to use that and all of the crap talking in Trade Addict 7 about Butler and how big of a reach he is. Butler was a guy for me. I know in multiple drafts I selected him before Campbell. For me, now I understand that there are question marks around Butler. There are also question marks around Campbell. There are also question marks around Isabella. There are also question every receiver in this class. Basically, there's question marks. It's just who do you like based on what you've seen, based on the measurables, based on, you know, the film, the analytics, whatever you're into, right? Because we all use different stuff. We all use a combination of all of that to develop our own opinions on players. Butler's just a guy that I wanted to own. I you know, I look at him and I look at physically, I look at him and his measurables, and something in me triggers. I for some reason, and I'm not saying he's ever going to turn into this guy, because this guy is absolutely, in my opinion, the best receiver to ever play the game. And I know that's going to ruffle some feathers, but I don't care. Calvin Johnson, to me, is the best receiver that's ever played the game. He was the most dominant receiver. And I love Jerry Rice. And I think Jerry Rice is, I think anybody that argues Jerry Rice is the greatest of all time, I can't argue with that either. I mean, he was unbelievable for a super long amount of time in an era where teams weren't throwing the ball as much as they are now, you know. So I'm not trying to get into that discussion. I'm just saying the best receiver I saw with my own two eyes and thought they can't guard that guy is Calvin Johnson. And something about Butler triggers me and thinks if this guy can put it all together, there's some of that in him. I'm by no means am I saying that's not a hot take. I'm not like throwing it out there that I think Hakeem Butler is the next Calvin Johnson. Please, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there's something similar about the game and obviously the size and the speed combination and all of that. But there's just something when I watch his film, it just reminds me of Calvin. So that's why for me, I lean that way. But Campbell is a guy that I think I probably am underestimating, to be honest. And the landing spot, I think, is a good landing spot. Obviously, I mean, the Colts throw the ball a ton. Hilton being on the other side will help Campbell. You know, he's not going to be facing number one corners. I mean, T.Y.'s been a legit star for 4 or 5 years now. So, you know, I think the landing spot is nice. And we'll see how he can link up with Andrew Luck and what happens in that offense. So I know you kind of ask, well, why are you not a fan? And I think the sentiment is growing on me that he can be a player in this league. I wasn't there at the beginning of rookie drafts. I still like other players over him in rookie drafts that other people probably wouldn't pick over him, but he's starting to grow on me at least, or the idea of him being successful is starting to grow on me a little bit.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the answer. I don't dislike him, but there's just other people I like more. But let's throw some context. Trade Addict 7, just because I happen to have the draft up already. Mm-hmm. Paris Campbell went 111. Andy Isabella went 207, and Hakeem Butler went 301.
To us.
To us. We took him at 301. Yep. And we both agreed pretty quickly on that one too.
Yeah.
I think the only guy we sort of thought about was Jace Sternberger at that point. And even with the tight end premium, we took Butler, and we agreed pretty quickly on it too. So if that lets anybody out there know how we feel about it. To get to the specific question between Isabella and Butler, both? I mean, if we're comparing just the two of them, you know, Butler's cheaper, so that's nice. The thing I've been going to over and over again is he is the only unique body type of a receiver on that team.
Yeah.
I love Fitz, I love Kirk, and I love Isabella. And while they're not exactly the same, and they all can do more than what we think, like at this point, we're just like, oh, they're just slot guys. And they all can do more than just be a slot guy. But they're all still around the same shape and size. Butler is not. Mm-hmm. So if law of averages happen, those three guys are going to sort of eat into each other a little bit. And the one guy who's the one person that does the one thing, assuming he doesn't just completely, to use a very relevant phrase, drop the ball.
Yeah.
Should find a way quickly to become relevant, because we know they're throwing the ball. That team has been designed to just over and over throw the ball, which I feel really bad for a very young and thin framed Kyler Murray with the amount of time he's going to have a pass rush on him.
Yeah.
But I've liked the idea of Butler on that team with the rest of those people, even after the fall in the real NFL draft, because if he had fallen and then Equanimeous St. Brown from last year,
yep.
Like he fell and then fell into a crowded place where he did not have a real path to anything, which he sort of, you know, set out a little role for himself towards the end anyway, but at least now right away we can see that there is something that can make Hakeem Butler relevant. And it's tough to think that the smart people who had him ranked so high would just be that wrong. So at 301, absolutely, you should absolutely draft him. And now Isabella, I am also a fan of. Yeah, so 207 is actually pretty late.
Yeah. I've seen him going like early second.
Like the 112 area, you're usually stuck with that choice of, I'm going to start calling him Sega, because he's JJ Arcega Whiteside said that that's what his college teammates called him. And I loved Sega Genesis and there Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
You're
going to watch a new Sonic movie. The new Sonic movie?
As long as they fix him. That thing is so scary looking. Hopefully they look more like Sonic.
Yeah, I think they are fixing him.
I think, conspiracy time, they did that on purpose. They wanted to drum up publicity, so they sent this horrifying looking Sonic just so everyone starts talking about it, and then they're like, yeah, we're going to make him look like we knew we were going to make him look like anyway, but now everyone's talking about it. Back on topic.
I'm so mad, dude. I'm looking at this Twitter photo that Sal posted. Mm-hmm. Of you and him and Gabe sitting there at that table.
That's your fault.
I have to make that happen. I have
to. Oh, yeah, me trying to eat his ear. Yeah, he had that coming.
Oh, man, I have to do it. I have to find a way. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, because now I'm completely lost to what I was talking about. Yeah, around the 112, you're stuck with stuck. You're usually around that idea of taking Sega, taking Debo, or any Bella. To me, right. Those are the three that whenever I've had the end of the first, those are the guys you're trying to decide between. And we took
JJ, right?
Yeah, we took Sega.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we took him in.
We were absolutely deciding between him and Debo.
Right.
And we brought up Isabella, but we knew quickly that we liked the other two first. And which right's the wrong answer, because clearly who the hell knows, and it's, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's right. Whatever. I'll say it. All right. So that's enough talking about the freaking Arizona Cardinals. And enough. Jake Anderson there. We talked about the trade addict 7 draft. Oh, and real quick. Just, we have to mention Peter Howard at PA Howdy and Stompy at FF Stompy, because when I said, what should we talk about? Both of them said me. So there, we talked about you too.
So there it is. Shout it out.
It's done. Pick something else. Your turn.
Let's talk about... So let's talk about some late rounders.
Okay. Okay, so we're not done talking about trade addict 7. I am very happy with the 409 we got, because this is the latest I've seen him go in the past week. We grabbed Foster Moreau, the tight end on Oakland.
Right. From out of LSU.
Since LSU doesn't necessarily throw the ball for a guy, for, you know, a tight end, no less, to come out of there and, you know, be draft worthy, I think is a pretty big deal in the first place. But the second of all, there's no tight end to really. Yeah, words are gone. Compete with him.
Well, and when you look at the way Jared Cook played, I mean, Jared Cook is a, I mean, before Oakland last year, what was he? A journeyman, right? I mean, for the most part, I mean, he put up some decent seasons, but nothing near what he did last year in Oakland in that offense and with Derek Carr. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, tight ends obviously typically don't break out early, but this kid is a beast. He's an animal. He's got a motor. So, I loved that pick when we took him there late in the trade addict 7 draft. But we'll see what happens. I think he's a guy definitely to, if especially in tight end premium leagues, I think he's a guy to target late. So, and then another guy for me, just in terms of late round flyers, I'm taking both of the Cincinnati running backs, Travion Williams and Rodney Anderson. So, those are guys that I'm targeting, and people would probably hear that and be like, well, why? Joe Mixon's there, right? I think there's a couple things here. First of all, you know, Mixon with the history, right, is like one screw up away. So that's concerning. I think they're going to run the ball a ton too. So, you know, I think those guys will get opportunities to spell Mixon. And then again, this is smart by Cincinnati, in my opinion. If any of these guys, if these guys can show that they're decent players and can handle, you know, running the football in that offense, then when Mixon comes up for a $60 million contract, are you going to pay him $40 million guaranteed when he's one backhand away from, I mean, that's horrible to say, but when he's
a little bit,
you know, when he, well, but you know what I'm saying? When he's had, I mean, he has a history, right? Now, hopefully these guys can change. And obviously we hope that for the best, but I mean, his history's there. You can't deny it. Are you going to pay him that money if you've got guys behind him that can carry the rock? You know, I don't know. We'll see. I really like Anderson. He's a player to me that if he could have stayed healthy at Oklahoma, I mean, when he was healthy, he was a stud. Stud. So, you know, I think physically he's very gifted. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a good runner. But he's been banged up. I mean, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and that's the big thing with him. I prefer him to Williams. I know Stoops will probably throw a hissy fit over that. Sorry, Stoops. Williams is a Texas A&M guy, so as Stoops is. So, I like both of those guys just as late round flyers. You're getting these guys in the late third mostly, that in the drafts that I'm participating in, you know, late third, even fourth. I think I pick Williams in the fourth in two drafts. So those are two guys I think that I'm looking at as well.
Real quick, Gio is contract is up after this year. So Travion is a walk-in replacement for him. I think I was a very big Travion fan. I think before the NFL draft, I always said I loved the second round of this rookie draft, because Travion was one of the names I would mention. Clearly that didn't work out that well, but still, I still like the player, and I actually love the landing spot. I think he will walk in next year and take that receiving back role. Rodney Anderson is a wonderful backup who could become so much more, because like you said, when he's healthy, he's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, this is going to happen. We're going to do this now.
All right, let's do it.
I think using Mixon's past is a little bit crappy. Yeah, I not at all standing up for anything about what he did. What he did was awful. You shouldn't hit people. No, you shouldn't hit women. But just because Tyreek Hill screwed up again, that doesn't mean Mixon will. From every report that's ever been out there, Mixon has been an outstanding human being from that moment on. You know, so maybe they are. Okay, forget about real football, what the Bengals are doing. The Bengals are being smart because, like you said, it's a business. Like we've said before, it's a business. And yes, they need to hedge their bets and cover their asses and all of that kind of stuff. But if you're sitting here thinking they drafted Rodney Anderson because they know Mixon's going to screw up and then Rodney Anderson's going to walk in, they drafted Rodney Anderson in like the 12th round. Let's be honest. Let's throw that out there. Even if Mixon got hurt or Mixon did screw up something and got suspended, Rodney Anderson got drafted in the 6th round for a reason. Like, don't, you know, blindly go in thinking this is all automatically the successor. If all of a sudden Rodney Anderson stops getting hurt, maybe, but there's, I mean,
well, and here's, go ahead, sorry.
Because, we never want anyone to get hurt, it happens. It's unfortunate. And while it does seem like these are Keenan Allen-esque injuries, where they're just like different crap happening to this poor kid, it doesn't stop. So, I mean, if this guy was ready to be brought in as the successor that quickly, someone would have been on him well before, what was it, the 6th round? So I like the player. I'm good with the landing spot, but I do not at all think this is an indictment on Mixon.
No, and I don't either. I really don't. I think they know Geo's on the way out, so they brought a couple of guys in. They hope one of them can fill a role. Maybe both can fill a role. I wasn't saying that about Mixon to say that he's going to screw up again either. I was just saying, when in real football, right, and like we said, when in real football, I think Cincinnati is just thinking, okay, we need a backup plan. We need a plan in case, because in another year or 2 years, you're going to sign him. If Mixon performs the way he performed last year and the way that we expect him to perform moving forward, which is, you know, elite, right? If he performs that way, he's going to want to be paid that way, and rightfully so. Is Cincinnati going to take that bet? You know, maybe they will. Historically, they have. My gosh, you look at the Bengals, you want to talk about a team that historically has taken their chances with players with off the field issues. I mean, there's probably no team in the league in recent history that can even be in the same ballpark. They probably will. But here's the other thing. Anderson also had off the field stuff. He was accused of rape, I think, on campus at Oklahoma. I don't think he was convicted or whatever. Charges were dropped, but you know, so there's stuff there too. I wasn't singling Mixon out. I'm just saying I think Cincinnati has a plan to get these guys involved, and it'll help keep Mixon fresh too if Anderson can carry the ball inside the 10-yard line every once in a while. You know, those are tough yards to get, and you know, he's a bigger body, 6'2", 225. So I mean, you know, but to your point, I don't think that I wasn't saying that again to indict Mixon or to assume that he's going to get in trouble again. I am typically more risk averse personally when I'm building my dynasty rosters, but that wasn't the point of this. I just think that Anderson and Williams both can play a role in that backfield.
All right. So let's finish this question out with a little bit of quick fire people. Dexter Williams, running back on Green Bay. Mm-hmm. All the running backs in Green Bay like to get hurt, so there's a chance he could see the field. I don't necessarily know much about the running back himself, but the opportunity could be there pretty quickly. James Williams, the running back in Kansas City. He's a receiving back. He's That's really what he is, but that can easily work in what Kansas City does. So I think he's a great pickup. I lost the name. Miles Gaskin from Washington, running back in Miami.
In Miami. Yeah, he's from University of Washington.
Yes. Carried the ball a lot and was able to do it. And who knows what's going on with Miami. This is the first pick of the new regime, so maybe. And to stick with Miles Boykin. Another big dude for Lamar Jackson to throw the ball to.
So, yeah.
Especially in the end zone, because he's a very big dude. Anybody you want to... Oh, real quick, Raquel Armstead, just because, again, he's a running back in Jacksonville and with ankles.
Yeah, I would say Tony Pollard in Dallas, behind, you know, Dallas brought in two rookie running backs, Mike Weber out of Ohio State, and then Tony Pollard. Pollard is a receiving back, so he's kind of that Rod Smith back in Dallas, if you will. And again, obviously, obviously Ezekiel Elliott's the guy there. But he's a guy that maybe fills that Rod Smith role where he catches a couple passes a game and maybe he'll break one, you know? And then for me, the other one in Superflex leagues, I don't know that this is late round flyers, but I'm drafting the quarterbacks. You know, I'm drafting Daniel Jones. I'm drafting Drew Lock. You know, they should not be getting out of the second, either of those guys.
Yeah, but you can even talk about the later guys. I think Tyler Jackson is a great pickup. Will Greer, because
Jarrett Stidham.
You're waiting for a guy to go down for them to be useful. But again, they're quarterbacks. Only one guy has to go down for them to be useful, and it's Superflex. You need to be prepared for that.
We've been talking about the Bengals, Ryan Finley. You know, they traded it up to draft him. You know, so. I don't, you know, again, now they may draft somebody next year too. I don't know. I mean, a lot of teams are starting to do that where they draft a quarterback almost every year. But he's another guy that I'd be willing in Superflex leagues, especially, to take a flyer on in, you know, somewhere in the fourth round. If you're in need of a guy that might end up being a serviceable starter, you know, why not?
All right, so pretty much the rest of our questions are talking about trading in rookie drafts. First, I want to throw out the... No, that's not the right phrase. Whatever, moving on. We did a rookie mock. What we did was we duplicated one of the Trade Addicts leagues, assigned 12 other dudes... not in this league besides me and Brian, because it's not like we're going to do something and not include ourselves in it. And what we did was we took these teams as if they were our own and treated it like it was a real rookie draft. We traded in and out. We used veterans. I'm trying to get you can't get 12 people on a podcast at once. So I'm trying to get these people individually to sit and talk for a little bit about their picks so we can then, I actually have to do some real editing, so we'll see how that actually goes, and try to throw it into one show so we could really talk about, because there was a good few trades in here that are worth talking about also. So that would answer a lot of these questions, but, you know, clearly we're not just going to not talk about it now, but hopefully I can get that out in like a week. And if not, I'll just do it with only talking to a few of them, because we're all degenerates and there's no point in getting that podcast out after everyone did their rookie drafts. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
So first let's talk about trading out of the 2019 draft. This is getting harder and harder because everybody loves the 2020 draft already. It's ingrained in their brains. We had a few instances at the 112 in our draft where people offered us trades, but they were offering us 2020 seconds with a little bit of a sweetener to it. And then when I said we're not going to trade a first for a future second, one of the responses was, you know, a first in quotation marks in this draft because of this is a down draft. I say it every single time we talk about this. Time is money, baby. That's the truth. Doesn't matter that this is a somewhat down draft and next year's supposed to be the godsend of all drafts. you know, a few people are going to just suck next year and kill their draft capital. Some people are going to stick in college. It's not going to be as great as we want it to. This year wasn't as great as we wanted it to. It was supposed to be better than this. The year before, there was actually people, with how great that was, there was supposed to be more. It's just, it's the way of the land. Next year is always better. But this year, it's much different and much stronger of a sentiment. So trading into next year is a little tough, but don't let that this year sucks, next year is going to be great, make you settle for less. You talk for a minute.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, I'm huge on the 2020 class. If everybody comes out this supposed to, it's going to be fantastic. But there's always going to be guys that fall, you know, that we look at going into the year, you know, into the college season this year. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to not perform the way that we thought they were going to perform. And then there are going to be other players that come out of nowhere. It happens every single year. You know, and you're right. Time is money. I mean, I'm all for, you know, if you're in the late part of the round, right? So if you're at 111, 112, and you can get a first next year, okay, I'm okay with that. But a second next year, you know, in a late third this year, nah, I'm not, you know, no. We actually did the opposite. We didn't trade out. We traded back in Trade Addict 7. We had two mid-seconds, and we traded those two mid-seconds for the 112. And the 112 ended up turning into, who'd we take?
Sega.
Yes, Sega. Right. So
205 and 206.
Right. So we had the 205 and 206 and traded up for the 112 and took Sega. So, you know, I think, you know, so we put our money where our mouths are when it comes to this particular strategy. But, you know, I don't think unless you're at the very back of the round, I don't think you definitely shouldn't take a round lower the following year. You can take the same round. Like I said, a late first, take a first next year. Yeah. Or a late second, take a second next year if you believe in the class. I'm okay with that. But not a later round next year over a first round pick this year. No.
Yeah. Okay. So how much would it take? Okay. So here's Superflex, because that's what we do. This first tier is Kyler, Henry, Jacobs. Names.
Miles.
Sanders and Montgomery.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's say you have, we're going to make it super, super. You have the 106.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get whichever one of those two running backs falls to that 105. What are you going to pay to move that one spot?
From the 106 to the 105?
To make sure you get Montgomery's. Nice. I just combined Montgomery and Sanders. I'll just take Montgomery's. Give me both.
I would probably pay a mid to late second.
See, to me, I'd be like, see, yeah, I mean, that is probably what it should. I'd probably be willing to pay an early second, to be honest. Just to move one
spot. Yeah, I mean, it depends on
into
how strongly,
that tier.
Yeah, it depends on how strongly you believe in the player. I mean, I don't have a problem. Look, how many times have we said this to go get your guy? If you have a guy you believe in, you know, I believed in Saquon Barkley since day one, all time. Like it was.
Says the guy flailing his arms in his Penn Station.
I am. Yes, exactly. How did you? Oh, because
I could see it because you're on camera.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I got freaked out there for a second. Yeah, so, you know, if you have a guy like that, and obviously, I mean, Barkley, you know, we've talked extensively, obviously, about him, and everybody has, because he's a generational talent. Yeah, I said it. Anyway, if you have a guy you believe in a rookie draft, and you want to go get him, go get him. If you pay what it takes to go get him. Be happy. This is for fun, remember? Be happy. Go get your guy. I have no problem with that. I think I would try to be targeting a later second, a mid to late second, to move up just one spot. But if it took an early second, I'd do it. I'd do it.
We brought up when we were talking about Paris Campbell, I said I got my share in Trade Addicts 5. I actually traded up for it. I had the 112. I traded the 112 and the 212 for the 110. We were hitting that point where it's those three guys, you know, Paris Campbell, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Debo, that kind of area. And I know two picks than me, which means I was getting the bottom, but I wanted Paris Campbell because you were a jerk and put the squash on that and Trade Addicts 7. So I traded the 112 and 212 for the 110, which I did without thinking.
No problem.
I got accepted.
For that. Yep.
I took Paris Campbell. The dude at the 111 started cursing at me. That's exactly who I wanted. I thought, and he's like, I said, I knew the second you traded up that I was screwed. I'm like, well, you know, he's for sale.
Of course. Hashtag brand, Trade Addict. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, later, like, what's the, let's start looking at what the 212 is. The 212, Damian Harris, Hollywood Brown, Hakeem Butler, Kelvin Harmon. These are the kinds of guy that went around the 212. And again, I still just have the Trade Addict 7 draft up.
Yeah.
Are you going to let that, those guys get in the way of you getting a guy that you want? I mean, I wasn't.
No.
Don't get me wrong. You know, I have so many Sega shares at this point, which is also a little the reason why I wanted to divest a bit and get someone else. And I wouldn't have been heartbroken if Debo fell to me because I really don't have enough of him. Mm-hmm. But I had Campbell on my brain, so I wanted to make sure I got him. And I was completely willing to sell a later second because you got that rookie fever. It's, there was literally a podcast named Rookie Fever. That's how real it is, which you should go listen to, by the way. It's awesome. But you got to remember what the hit rate of a late second is, as opposed to even what, like, I mean, the late first isn't that great either. Mm-hmm. But still,
you'll get the guy you believe in. Yeah.
Damn straight. Yep. And you're here. You're in this rookie draft. Reality wants you to say this is a down draft, so you should sort of lower your standards for what you should take. I don't think that's true. I think, especially when you're dealing within the same draft, it's all relative anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, the 305 might not be what the 305 is worth next year, but the 305 to the 205, it's still a round difference, and the it's in the same draft. There's no reason you should discount these picks because it's a quote unquote downdraft.
I think it's a great point, Russ. You know, when, I mean, you think about guys, so you have a guy that has three first round picks in this draft, and they're like, oh, you know, normally three first round picks, oh, that'd be awesome. But this year it sucks because it's a weak class. And yet they come out with Miles Sanders, N'Keal Harry, and Noah Fant. And you're telling me that that didn't improve that team significantly? You know what I mean? Like, I absolutely agree with what you're saying 100%. I mean, you can't. Now, next year, is that, you know, God, I don't even know. I don't even want to project at this point. Jerry Jeudy, Jonathan Taylor, and, you know, someone else. T. Higgins. Oh, God.
I'm just letting you struggle. I'm watching you sort of sink slowly into this quicksand of you not being able to think of names, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah. It is T. Higgins. Bam! Out of Clemson, the Clemson wide receiver. Knoxville kid. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I understand that, but at the same time, like, that's a year from now. And again, we don't know what's going to happen with these guys a year from now, right? We know that Miles Sanders is in Philadelphia, that they took him in the second round, and that he's got a pretty damn good chance, if not this year, then next year. If he, you know, I mean, I assume Jordan Howard is like a 1 year rental player in Philly, right? So, next year, to get the bulk of the carries in that offense, you know, it's a favorable situation. You know, Noah Fant, I mean, he's starting day one, more than likely, at least on passing downs, right? So, I mean, you can't discount the year that you're on, because that's the year that you got. You know? I don't know. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think sometimes we're always looking ahead, and I'm guilty of it too. I mean, you know, I'm a big 2020 guy. I like that class a lot. If everybody comes out, I think it's going to be special. Having said that, because the value of the 19 rookie class everybody has this stigma about the 19 rookie class. I think you're getting some of these guys for maybe less than you would have to pay in a normal class or in a better class. So, you know, go get them.
Yay. We agree. Shocker.
You want to argue about something?
You got something for us to argue about?
No, not really.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Well, I mean, honestly, unless you want to answer this last question up top.
Yeah, why not?
Go for it.
All right. So Paul, I don't know if it's Becerra. We're going to go with Becerra. If I butchered that, I apologize. At Paul.
I was about to say, you could have just taken the easy route and just read the handle.
At Paul underscore Ryan 15. How terrible is Game of Thrones season 8? So I will answer this because Russ is out on Game of Thrones currently. He's a book guy. So
I will catch up. I will watch it. I will probably get back into reading it once I'm done with Harry Potter. But
so here's
right now, no.
So here's what I'll say without spoiling anything, because
absolutely.
Goodness gracious. There's been wars on Twitter about spoilers too. So we're not going to go there. What I will say about this season is, are there things about it that are disappointing? Yes, definitely. Having said that, I don't know what people expect when they shorten. I mean, they said that they had 6 episodes left. You knew at the beginning of the season there was a shit ton of storylines that had to be wrapped up. They only have an hour and 20 minutes, maybe, for 6 weeks. Like, I mean, if you're expecting them to go full circle, all out, wrap up every last, you know, dot every I, cross every T, you're expecting too much. Manage your own expectations, because that's ridiculous. I mean, they're doing the best they can do. Yes, there are some things that are disappointing that they could have done better. And again, I can't get into it without spoiling some of the stuff. The show has been fantastic. It's been fantastic. You know, for 8 years, essentially 9 years almost has been since they started it. So, yeah, there are some disappointing things in season 8 in terms of the way that certain things ended, certain characters perishing in certain ways and different things like that. You know, and yes, it's coming to a rapid ending because literally we're down to one show. So, and there's a lot of questions. So yes, there are some disappointments, but I think people like to bitch because they like to bitch. That is a comment about our society as a whole, and without getting super into all that too, that's just that people like to bitch about shit. They like to complain. They do. They like to complain. People like to complain. Think about your coworkers at work. They talking to you about the joys in their life? No. They're talking to you about how bad they hate their job and how bad they hate this and how bad Game of Thrones is and how bad the Giants played last week and how bad the Braves are and how bad the Phillies suck and how bad this and that. I mean, that's just human nature. We kind of suck sometimes. We're a little negative. So we're trying to pull that together. This community is trying to, you know, I saw Tyler posted earlier today about trying to be positive and, you know, how positive the community was when he entered it and trying to bring that back and start an initiative. And I'm with you, man. Let's start all the positivity stuff. So that includes Game of Thrones. Let's look at the positive side. We're going to wrap up one of the best shows of all time here next Sunday night. And, we'll leave it at that.
All right. With that message of positivity, I think we're going to wrap up our show for the night. Bam. Transition. So before we go, the usual stuff, tradeaddicts.com. Nope. Tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com. Hey, we're talking about hashtag team slow draft. Go sport your team with a super sexy shirt. Trade at it. Nope. Man, fumbling the hell through this one, right? I'm so moved by your speech. I can't even think straight anymore.
That's usually what happens.
It's true. Your speaking just makes me dumbfounded. That's yeah. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Come join the cool kids in the cool kids club chat, which is so much fun. Like, I've had a busy as hell weekend. It was my daughter's birthday. It was Mother's Day. It was so much stuff. And that, without, you know, it's not like Brian and I are in there like forcing it to move along. Those dudes just go on their own.
Yeah, they do.
Like, the amount of good advice that they can give each other, it's almost like they don't need us. But it's a great, great chat. And you know, you get to watch us fumble through stuff and look at Brian's sexy face in his Penn State shirt. Just a good time. Anything else before we sign off?
I don't think so. Thanks to everyone out there that listens and supports us and interacts with us on Twitter. It's a lot of fun doing this, and we appreciate you all.
How freaking good is Gabe's intro?
It's ridiculous. Yes, I'm so glad you said that, because I don't think you guys mentioned it last week.
Until the end of the show, I forgot to mention it at the beginning again.
Yeah, yeah. No, Gabe is unreal when it comes, and our intro is so, oh my god, it's awesome. The he drops some fire bars. My daughter loves it. She dances. She's two. She dances to it. It's awesome. Thank you, Gabe.
Yes, thank you, Gabe. Well,
release that... a full album.
Oh yeah, dude. Don't press the wrong button.
Think we can peer pressure him into it?
Yes.
I hope so.
All right, patreon.com/genius. That is GNIUS is Gabe Gearing's Patreon. Go give this guy your money and say, this is only because I want you to put out a full album.
Yes. Gabe's awesome. He's so talented. So creative. First of all,
he's an awesome dude and is so good at what he does. So go support, because that's what we do in this community. We support each other.
Yes.
And on that note, night, Brian.
Night, Out House.
Night, no guests.
Night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian R. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.